A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me, and woe to me if I do not preach it. If I do so willingly, I have a recompense, but if unwillingly, then I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my recompense? That when I preach, I offer the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Although I am free in regard to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so as to win over as many as possible. I have become all things to all, to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. Do you not know that the runners in the stadium all run in the race, but only one wins the prize? Run so as to win. Every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do it to win a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. Thus, I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight as if I were shadowboxing. No, I drive my body and train it, for fear that, after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. The word of the Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord, mighty God.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord, mighty God.
My soul yearns and pines for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord, mighty God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest in which she puts her young. Your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord, mighty God.
Blessed they who dwell in your house, continually they praise you. Blessed the men whose strength you are, their hearts are set upon the pilgrimage.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord, mighty God.
For a sun and a shield is the Lord God, grace and glory he bestows. The Lord withholds no good thing from those who walk in sincerity.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord, mighty God.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye.
Verbum Domini.
St. Paul compares the spiritual life in our first reading today to training for sports. As physical training prepares an athlete to excel in a particular sporting event, so spiritual discipline helps the Christian to excel in the spiritual life against selfishness and sin. And St. Paul urges us not to give in to complacency, not to give in to laziness. Now, he's writing to the Corinthians, and in Corinth, that was the site or the venue for sporting events. Every 2 years, they would host these sporting events called the Isthmus Games. And foot races and boxing were two of the events that were held there. So the people, the Corinthians, were very familiar with this image of boxing and running races. And so St. Paul makes an analogy to the spiritual life referring to these two events, which again would be very familiar to the people. And in the spiritual life, our competition is not against our brothers and sisters. It's against our own weakness, against our own selfishness, against the flesh, against the idea that no effort on our part is needed to finish the race and to win. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that the runners in the stadium all run the race, but only one wins the prize?" He says, "Run so as to win." Heaven is not guaranteed to everyone just because they're in the race, just because they consider themselves a Christian. We need to run so as to win, to remain in a state of grace and friendship with God. Again, St. Paul reminds us every athlete exercises discipline in every way. So discipline is needed to live a life pleasing to God. In his letter to the Philippians, St. Paul says, "Forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus." So St. Paul and all the saints did not run aimlessly, as St. Paul mentioned in our first reading today. They were pressing forward. They're always moving forward. Right? That was the motto, remember, of St. Junipero Serra, always forward, always moving. Running so as to win. And after using the image of running, St. Paul switches to boxing. He says, "I do not fight as if I were shadow boxing." St. Paul is not pretending to fight. He's not just throwing his fists in the air. Rather, he's driving his body. He's training it, striving to make it subject to have proper order in his life, peace, to keep his passions in order, to have that discipline. And practically speaking, he was willing to make the sacrifices that God was asking him to make, to deny himself of selfish impulses in the pursuit of holiness. He knew he needed to practice self-denial and discipline lest he be disqualified, as he spoke about, just like as one might be disqualified in a race or in a boxing match, right, if we don't follow the rules. Or in the spiritual life, to be found counterfeit or fake, right? We're just going through the motions. We want to appear holy, but inside we're not really striving for holiness. So it's not enough simply to be on the racetrack or in the boxing ring and to appear as if one is holy or a follower of Christ, rather than striving to live the life of holiness, to run the race, to fight in the match. And in our gospel today, our Lord tells us about guides and about wooden beams. First, he asks, "Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit?" Now, an effective guide is one who shows us, who helps us how to get to our intended destination. That's a good guide, an effective guide. And also can explain things to us along the way, what to look out for. So a good guide, therefore, knows where we are headed and how to get there. In the spiritual life, our destination is heaven and our guide is Christ. He is the way. And he established the church to assist us along the way. The church's teachings help us keep on the right path, and the sacraments which Christ himself instituted and which he entrusted to the church, they strengthen, they heal, and they nourish us along the way. We also have the saints who have gone before us as examples of virtuous and holy lives as we continue on this journey. So they are also guides. Unfortunately, many do not look to Christ or to the church or to the saints. They don't look to them as guides. We more easily tend to gravitate toward those whom the secular culture upholds as models. But the bottom line is, if they're not leading us to Christ, if they're not leading us to heaven, they're blind guides. And it's only going to lead to the pit, to destruction. So if I examine my life right now, who am I following as my guide in life? Right? It's a time to refocus, to keep our eyes on the Lord. And next, our Lord tells us about the wooden beam in our own eye. It is very easy, we know this by experience, to pick up on the faults of others. Much more easily to do that than to notice our own faults, our own sins. And Christ tells us to take the wooden beam out of our own eye before we try to take the splinter out of our neighbor's eye. Now, if we do recognize that we're becoming very critical of others' actions, maybe it's a time today to take a step back and to examine our own lives. Often it's been said, too, that the things that irritate us the most in other people are the things that we are also struggling with, right? Especially pride. When we see someone who seems to be full of themselves, that's because we're struggling with pride, too. But if we do this, if we take a step and we take a look at ourselves, we can see, as our Lord says, we can see more clearly to help assist others rather than to just merely be critical of them. St. Basil says, in truth, self-knowledge seems the most important of all. And he goes on to note that our sight and our understanding are both slow about noticing and apprehending our own weaknesses, but are very quick in picking up the weaknesses of other people. So we pray that we may grow in self-knowledge and to strive with the help of God's grace to root out our own faults, our sins, that we might be better able to help others, to assist others in their weakness. And speaking of guides, we know one of those authentic and good guides is St. John Chrysostom, and we celebrate today as a bishop. He was a doctor of the church. He was born in the fourth century, the mid-fourth century in Antioch. And his steadfast preaching and teaching of the truths of Scripture and the faith, they led many to have a much greater desire for holiness and for heaven. But his fidelity in preaching and teaching the faith also made him some enemies. The saints had enemies. As St. John Henry Newman would describe it, John Chrysostom was a man to make both friends and enemies, to inspire affection and to kindle resentment. But his friends loved him with a love stronger than death, and his enemies hated him with a hatred more burning than hell. And one of those who could not stand him was the Empress Eudoxia, who would conspire to have St. John exiled. She couldn't stand him, but his response to her persecution against him is certainly worth noting. He said, "You will not frighten me unless you are able to send me to some place where God is not." This is a good reminder that recalling the presence of God can be a great source of strength, right, in a time of trial or temptation. And he knew that she couldn't send him to a place where God was not. God is everywhere present. You think of King David as he said, "Though I walk in the midst of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me," right? Recalling the practice of the presence of God. St. John Chrysostom also gives good advice on dealing with anger or resentment that may well up within us when someone offends us. This is a normal human experience. We've all been offended or hurt in some way, and we can all sense that anger welling up within us. How do we deal with that? St. John Chrysostom recommended making the sign of the cross, recalling what took place on the cross, right? When we look at how much he suffered for us, the sacrifice he made for us, the love he has for us, especially as he mentioned on the cross, for those who do not know what they are doing, that can help us, right? And St. John gives us advice to think that this person might not be in the right mind. They may be having a bad day. That doesn't excuse what they did, but it can help us, right, to respond to what they did. Maybe they're suffering, maybe they didn't sleep, that's why they snapped at us, or that's why they did what they did. They're not in their right mind. They could be greatly suffering. But again, what we call to mind our Lord on the cross that can help us to respond in a virtuous way rather than a sinful way, which is very easy to do, right? Because we immediately want to get back at the person to make them suffer just as they made us suffer. So we look at the sign of the cross, we make the sign of the cross, and we look at our Lord's sacrifice on the cross. St. John also gives us good counsel regarding the temptation to fall into envy. Envy is that sadness or that discontent at the good of another. And he asks, "What do you envy? That your brother has received some spiritual gift? But from whom did he receive it? Tell me, was it not from God?" So again, it's very easy for us to compare ourselves with others, to think, here's a person who is more advanced in the spiritual life than I am. They have some spiritual gifts which I don't have, and I got to be very vigilant because I can become discontent about that. Rather think, Lord, you are the one who gave this person these gifts. You're the one who gave this person the graces that they need, and thank you for doing that. Thank you for the gifts you've given me, and it's inspiring me to grow in holiness. Please grant me the graces you know I need to grow in holiness to become a saint. So these are, again, how to deal with envy. So I'll conclude with just some of brief insights from St. John Chrysostom on Scripture, which he had a great, tremendous love for the Word of God, for sacred Scripture. And we have many, thanks be to God, we have many, many of his homilies that have been preserved as people would write down his words as he was preaching. But he said that the cause of all evil is not knowing Scripture. So we can go into battle without arms, and how are we to come off safe? Right? So if we don't know the Word of God, we're at a disadvantage going into the spiritual life, confronting the evils that we do confront in this life. So the prayerful reading and knowledge of sacred Scripture, those are defenses against evil. And he also referred to the Bible as a medicine chest for our sufferings. He said, "Listen, I entreat you, all that are careful for this life, and procure books that will be medicines for the soul. Get at least the New Testament, the Apostolic Epistles, the Acts, the Gospels. Get them for your constant teachers. If grief befalls you, dive into them as into a chest of medicines. Take from there comfort for your trouble, be it loss or death or bereavement of relations. Or rather, do not merely dive into them, but take them wholly to yourself, keeping them in mind." And finally, he says that these words, again, these sacred words in sacred Scripture, these are a treasury containing every sort of remedy, so that whether one needs to put down senseless pride, or quench the fire of concupiscence, or to trample on the love of riches, or to despise pain, or to cultivate cheerfulness and acquire patience, in them one may find in abundance the means to do so. So we ask St. John Chrysostom's his prayers for us today, to be regularly reminded of the presence of God, especially in those moments of trial, and that we might have a greater appreciation and love for the Word of God, for sacred Scripture, as the Lord guides us, he teaches us, he speaks to us through them, leading us to heaven.